So swine flu apparently became an issue in Sunday's midterm elections in Mexico, where President Felipe Calderón's conservative party lost big. There were other issues, too, of course. The winning party, the Institutional Revolutionary Party, or the PRI, won 37% of the vote, and with alliances will probably control an outright majority in the lower legislative chamber. And this has implications. Joining me to talk about what they are Diego Gralia, editor of the Feet in Two Worlds Immigration Project blog, and David Shirk, director of the Transborder Institute and assistant professor of political science at the University of San Diego. Welcome both of you today to WNYC. Good morning.
Hi, Brian.
Thanks for having us.
David Shirk, how big a win was this for the PRI, and why such a swing?
This was a very significant victory for the PRI. They gained not just the 37% in the election, but they, as you said, probably gained a near majority in the 500-member Chamber of Deputies. This makes Calderón officially a dead duck. He does not have control of the legislative agenda, and it's probably attributable to a couple of factors. One is that, first of all, the president's party almost always loses in midterm elections, but also there's been a lot of disenchantment with the Calderón administration in the last few months.
Over what? Is this a left-right thing at all?
No, it's not easy to break down Mexican politics in terms of left-right dimensions. The PRI is somewhere in the middle. This election is partly a referendum, I think, on the government's efforts to bring security, but also some recent problems in the management of, as you mentioned, the swine flu crisis. There's been some criticism of the government for that. And there's been a general disenchantment with Mexican politicians that manifested in this election by about 5% of voters who came out and simply annulled their ballots, writing a big X through their actual ballot.
And Diego Gralia, you know, before the United States became obsessed with referring to swine flu when talking about Mexico, we were obsessed with talking about the drug cartels when referring to Mexico. And President Calderón had focused on fighting drug cartels, and yet violence is markedly higher now than when he launched his plans. Did that figure into the public dissatisfaction with him and his party?
Yes, actually, it seems it did figure, but it didn't help Calderón so much as he would have wanted it. The PRI tried to turn the election on the economy, and I think they pretty much succeeded on that. And they capitalized on the downturn that's pretty bad in Mexico. So, especially in the last week, they ran a few ads linking the governing PAN, the Partido Acción Nacional, the governing party, to the economic crisis. Whether that's fair or not is not their problem. And, well, many voters went along with that idea.
Diego, you're editor of the Feet in Two Worlds blog. Some of our listeners remember we've done partnerships with this program and Feet in Two Worlds, which is about what its title says, people who have their feet in two worlds, immigrants to the United States on the one hand and in the countries of origin on the other hand. Did the U.S. figure into this election at all through NAFTA or immigration policy or in any other way?
No, I don't think this time there was a big presence of any of those issues. Immigrants are just normally taken as a fact of life here. I mean, the migrants who live Mexico. So there was no big issue in relation to migration to the U.S.
And David, what about the handling of swine flu? Mexico City practically got shut down there for a few days, and the rest of the world freaked out.
Yeah, and there was some question about whether the Mexican government responded quickly enough, sufficiently to the crisis. But in the end, I don't think this was an election as about swine flu. I think, as Diego points out, we're in the midst of one of the largest economic crises of in the last 100 years, and that's affected Mexico very dramatically. To the extent that the United States was a factor in this election, it's because Mexico's economy is tied so closely to our own, and they anticipate probably a 6% drop in GDP this year. That is probably the major source of discontentment in Mexico, as it is in many parts of the world.
So how did the U.S. – was it the banking crisis? Is it the same – you know, is it home prices and subprime mortgages in this country and credit default swaps, and this trickles down to affect people in Mexico?
Well, the fact is that over the last 15 years, thanks to NAFTA, Mexico's economic fortunes have been very closely tied to the United States. And so when the U.S. economy grows, there's a corresponding, for example, the maquiladora sector in Mexico grows at a ratio of about 1 to 4 relative to the GDP in the United States. Or I'm sorry, 4 to 1. And
that's the factories along the border, roughly.
That's right. So when the U.S. economy takes a hit, Mexico takes an even bigger hit because it's so closely tied to outcomes here. And so any major downturn in the U.S. economy has a much bigger impact in Mexico.
Diego, to the extent that swine flu is any factor at all, was the reaction that the government underreacted or overreacted?
Well, I think the general thinking was the government overreacted and kind of shut down the city. And, you know, in the first few days of the crisis, there was talk of hundreds and thousands of victims, and there was a big scare. And after a few days, the real statistics, the lab tested statistics, we could call them, came out, and it turns out there weren't so many confirmed cases. So people were very distrustful of the handling, especially of the communications part of this health crisis.
Before you both go, there were two other players of a sort in the elections: those who stayed home, a higher percent than in most elections in Mexico, and those who nullified their ballots. They call it nullification, to say no to the whole system. Can you explain that, David? A lot of people in this country would like to be able to vote none of the above sometimes.
Yeah, there was a push, particularly by some well-known pundits and elites, to vote for a fictional character called Esperanza Marchita, Faded Hope. And there's a general sense, I think, among some people in Mexico that the political system has failed to deliver after 9 years of democratic governance. And I think that, you know, there's some key issues, some key reforms that people are looking for, at least a small number of people, things like re-election so that politicians can be held accountable, things like electoral reform, which would help to weaken the influence of these very small gadfly parties that actually suffered a big defeat as a result of this nullification vote. The big losers in this election are actually not the PAN, but the small parties who lost about half their seats in the legislature because people went out and voted for the null parties and expressed their disenchantment in that way.
What was the name of that fictional character?
Esperanza Marchita, or Faded Hope.
F-A-D-E-D. Faded Hope.
Correct.
All right, Diego, just you got to tell me what the name Institutional Revolutionary Party means. I know that's the big party, the PRI in Mexico, that had ruled from the early 20th century until the year 2000. But it's such a funny name. How could something be both institutional and revolutionary?
Right, exactly. Well, the PRI is the result of the desire to institutionalize the revolution. After this is a direct continuation of the people who won the Mexican Revolution in 1917 and the governments that followed. There was a party in government that I think was called Partido Revolucionario Nacional, or National Revolutionary Party, and then it became the pre-institutional Revolutionary Party. And in a way, the title sums up what it did. It did dominate the forces of the revolution and put them at the service of the institutions, and that's how it controlled the country for 70 years.
A paradox wrapped in an enigma. Diego Gralia, editor of the Feed in Two Worlds blog, David Shirk, director of the Transborder Institute and assistant professor of political science at the University of San Diego. Thank you very much for talking about the Mexican elections today.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And our next topic is boys. Stay with us.